Exodus 18, verse 21. Nothing has changed that much from God's will for leadership for his people. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. For eons of time, God has wanted godly and faithful men to rule the people and to lead and guide the people. And it's the desire of this congregation. That's the reason for this review of leadership. It's the reason why we're here, Rusty and I, to work and help with this. It's the reason for this gathering and the thoughts of the coming days and weeks ahead. Godly leaders are motivated to serve by love. I want you to take that home with you. I want you to think about this very much. I want you, as you consider a man that you can follow as a leader, I want you to think about men who would serve as deacons. To serve, they are motivated by love. If men lead and are not motivated by love, they're not godly leaders. And this is a very important part of this study, and I think it's something that I really want you to give thought to and consider. We're going to consider the next three passages that have to do with our Lord Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep having no shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Our Lord looked at the people who were leaderless, and it grieved him. It stirred up his feelings. It stirred up his compassion. In other words, it caused his love to go, I got to do something. And I want you to notice his action, to teach. And shepherding, eldering, being a bishop, being a deacon is a work. That's why we've got these dirty hands and these dirty gloves up here. It is work. It is effort. It will require service. And I want you to notice that as Jesus saw this condition of lack of leadership, it filled him with compassion. He loved these people. He did not want to see them leaderless, and he began to teach these people. Same account, but this time in Matthew 14, 14. Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He saw people who had problems. He loved these people. He wanted to help them with their problems. And I'll tell you, the work of an elder or a bishop is a work with problems, because we all have problems. I have problems. I have struggles. I have temptations. I have weaknesses, and I from time to time need help. We are all that way. We are all flawed in some way, and there are things that we are challenged with our life. And we need people to help us with that. And Jesus saw these people that were sick people. And he was moved with compassion. He wanted to help them. He wanted to heal them. Luke 9, again, same account, different place. Luke 9, verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. That's another little piece that fleshes out this account. He sees the people. They don't have a shepherd. They don't have leaders. He's moved with compassion. Love wells up in him, and he wants to talk to these people about the kingdom of God. Why are we here? Why do we do this on Sunday? Why do we mess with having a building and having Bible studies and elders and deacons and the songs we sing? The reason why is because we want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want your children to grow up and be godly children. I want them to become Christians. I want them to be able to avoid as best they can the snares and traps of the devils. I want them to have a happy life. I want them to have a full life. And someday at the end, I want them to meet the Lord in the air and go to heaven. And I want to tell you, it takes a lot of work for it to all function well. It takes a lot of work to care for this many people. And there's a host of things that go into that. And all of those things and all of that work is driven by love. It's driven by love. Jesus was motivated by a desire for their good. He wanted them to have a good life. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to learn the truth. He wanted them to understand the kingdom of God, the ins and outs of that kingdom. He wanted them to be healed from their sicknesses and disease and from their sins. He wanted that. He wanted them to be fed. He wanted them to learn. All of that is motivated because he wanted them to go to heaven. That's what he wants for you. And God's design is to put you into a congregation that where you can faithfully follow the Lord, where you can grow and learn, where you've got men with experience who are dedicated and fit those qualifications, who will help you and shepherd you along the way. And in conjunction with that, as far as leadership goes, to have deacons who serve and help along the way with those elders. You know what that is? It's the best situation you can have on this earth. It's the very best. To have a congregation that has active elders and deacons, for you to be married and a husband, wife who can raise kids up in that situation, it's as good as it gets. Okay. He was motivated to act because of his love. Now then, I think all those passages we just read and the idea of Jesus being moved with compassion to work and serve is parallel to this passage that we read in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Why? Because he loves people. He has care for you. A deacon will serve because of the same reason. He loves you and he has care for you. I want you to think about, as you think about men that you could follow, think about a man who has that care and that love. Because we can submit to such a man. We can have trust in a man who loves me and wants to help me to go to heaven. Ty's giving me a hard time because all my illustrations are farm illustrations. I'm sorry. It's what I got. It's all I got. You know, all those cows, I care about them. I grow to love most of them. Some of them, I love to hate them, okay? But most of them, if they're that way, I get rid of them. Some of them, I have to hurt them a little bit. I have to hold them down. I have to give them shots. Sometimes there's things that have to be done in the vein of helping. It's all done out of love, and some of it is really hard to do. Some of it is difficult along the way. And there's times I don't want to be out there in the snow, in the rain, in the mud, at all hours of the night, trying to help a heifer give birth to a calf. I'd rather be in bed. I'd rather be at home eating popcorn or something. But I care about it. It's important to me, so I go do it. And hopefully I do that with a good attitude. These men who fill these roles in leadership, let me tell you, they do it out of love. They get no pay. They don't get pay. They don't get benefits. They don't get a vehicle to drive. They don't do this because they get pats on the back. They do it because they love people. I want to tell you, the deacons who are here, they take out the trash because they love you and they love the Lord. They don't do it because they get a thrill to take out the trash. I never have. So I want you to think about the motivation, because I think this is a very important thing. They're motivated by the same love as Jesus. He looked at the people. He was filled with compassion. He loved them. He wanted to help them. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I mean, this sums it up. This was the attitude of our Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven too. Therefore, I'm going to help you. I've had problems. People have helped me. I want to, in turn, do that for other people. This was the attitude of our Lord, that we look at other people in such a way That we care for one another in such a way. What do you have, 100 people go to church a year? I want to tell you something. If 100 people have decided we're going to help Lisa go to heaven, and they do help her, and they care for her, and they check in on her, and they watch out for her, and they warn her, and they struggle with her, and they strive with her, you got a doggone good shot. And I think that's true for every one of you. If we work together and help one another, we all have a really good shot at making it heaven. That's the goal. But I'll tell you, if we all, it's dog eat dog, every man for himself. That's why people struggle outside of the church. And that's why the church is so valuable. One of the reasons. I love you. I want you to make it to heaven. I will do anything I can to help you to get to heaven. Does this love, this compassion motivate you to serve? If you have an aspiration to be in leadership, if someday you'd like to be an elder, or you'd like to be a deacon, I'm going to tell you, from the core of your being, it's got to come for love of people. Because you want to help people. You care about people. The heart and soul of leadership, and I'm talking about godly leadership. Godly leaders want to work. Jesus went to work helping these people. He went to work teaching. He went to work healing. He went to work talking to these people about the kingdom. And to be a deacon is labor. It's just work. To be an elder is work. Okay. We could try to say it's easy. We could say, well, Jerry, he just gets to boss everybody around. That is 1/1000th of it. The other 999 parts are just work. To do this, to be godly, you've got to want to work. Titus 2, verse 14 and 15, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. A people who love to do good works. People who like to help. The kind of people that we should be. And Jesus redeemed us from iniquity so that we can be this kind of people. And so if you don't like work, you shouldn't aspire to be a deacon. If you don't like work, you should not aspire to be an elder, because it is work. It's what it is. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I tell a lot of people I've been blessed. I live the dream. I've got to do what I always wanted to do. And I'm so thankful. Congregations support me, and I'm so thankful because I get to do what I've always wanted to do. And I'll tell you, I've been at it 22 years, and not a day of it has been work. Not a day. It's just been enjoyable. That's true for the cows. I enjoy being with my cows. I enjoy the time. I enjoy seeing them. I know it sounds crazy, but if you enjoy your work, it's because your treasure's there. And it's a principle that's straight from the Lord, that if you really love something, then it's not going to be a work. Talked to an elder one time. It's been several years ago. He said, I have a problem with a deacon. Hate that. He said, I've asked the deacon to take out the trash. And he said, the deacon took out the trash for about 6 months. And then they said, the deacon come in one day and said, I'm no longer going to take out the trash. He said, I don't want to take out the trash. I'm not doing it. This elder, this is what he says. He said, I don't need him to do anything. I don't need him to do anything. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got to have all these things to make it work. It takes a lot of things to make the church function well, and one of them is taking out the trash. Okay? It's important. The trash piles up, and it overflows, and it clutters about the place, And it don't work. It will not work for visitors. It will not work for us. And that's one of the tiniest things, but I will tell you, it is important. It's important to have the communion and have it ready. There's deacons who come here early on a Sunday to make sure it's ready. Why? Because it's important. It's part of what we do. And if your treasure is there, I'm going to tell you, there are plenty of deacons in this world that are happy. They are filled with joy because everyone gets to take communion. Did you know that? And I'm going to tell you, there's deacons somewhere almost every Sunday who, when they open up the tray and there's no fruit of the vine there, they freak out. Don't they? Because that was the job. That was a part of duty. It's part of what we do. It's got to be there. We've got to have a building that the roof don't leak. I mean, I suppose we can meet and have a bucket in the floor and the rain drip in, but it's not going to be so good for visitors. All these things that have to be together to work. There's got to be somebody who counts plates. It's essential. We may make fun of it and look at it as a small part. We need that. It's part of what we do. We need the building to be clean. There's a whole lot of these things that, honestly, they're not the most glamorous. They're not the number what we might think of as the number one thing, but they're valuable, and we got to have it. It's got to be done. The floor's got to be swept and mopped occasionally. The yard mowed, all those kind of things, change the sign. These things have all got to be done, and they all function together, and people have to dedicate themselves. And if you're the kind of person who's unwilling to take out the trash because that's beneath you, because you're better than that or bigger than that, then I suggest you look at your motivation. Taking out the trash is a work of love. Fixing the communion is a work of love. Mopping the floor, counting the plates, all those things are a work of love. And people who love it will do a good job at it. I got one more story to tell. Our congregation, very blessed with a lot of good people. We had two funerals in 5 days here a few weeks ago, and that's unusual for us. I hope it's unusual for most places, but anyway, that's the situation. We were about to start a funeral. We found out one of our other members died. It was hard. And we fed 400 people in just a few days. I mean, our ladies cooked and cooked and cooked and kept cooking. And feeding people, they carried meals in the dark of the night to homes where people were grieving. Our people stepped up. It was wonderful. And there comes a point where you're just exhausted. You're so mentally, emotionally, you're tapped. You're drained out. The last funeral is done, and guess who's at the building then? Guess who's there? This core group. Elders, deacons, a few other people, okay? And they're cleaning up. And everybody's tired and they're exhausted. Coming out of the church, a deacon carrying a load of trash. Singing, "I Want to Be a Worker." I'll tell you, that's when you sing that song. On Sunday morning, when you're well rested. You sing that song when you're exhausted. You're going from home to home, doing studies and helping people. You do it because that's where your treasure is. You love people. You love souls. You want people to go to heaven. That's why you do it. Okay. Godly leaders want to work. It's one of my favorite passages, Isaiah 56, verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. This were the elders of Israel. They did not take care of their business. They did not work. They did not work hard. In fact, the prophet said they're dumb dogs. They won't even bark. You know, one night my dog barked and barked and barked and barked and barked, and I finally got up. Nothing but underwear. I'm not trying to give you a mental picture, but nothing but my underwear. I go to the front door because he's just barking, barking, barking. And I'm saying, "You dumb dog." I jerked the door open. There was a skunk right there at the door. I slammed the door. I said, what a good dog. That's a good dog. This passage of scripture, visiting with Van Miller, and he gave what I think was an all-time great quote. He said, I may be a dumb dog, but I will bark. And so elders probably don't always do everything right. Deacons don't do everything right. But I will tell you, if you have men who will bark and who at least do something and they try, praise God and thank God for that. Because they're trying. They're trying to work and do things that will help people. It takes a lot for the church to function well, and we need all of those elements. We need all of those people involved for the church to function well. To be an elder or a deacon is a service. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 to 16. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I knew a young man who was addicted to methamphetamines. He was addicted to it. And it's the same word, it's the same sense, I believe, in the Greek. He had dedicated himself to it. And methamphetamines was coming first. He didn't eat. It didn't matter as long as he got the meth. If he didn't have a place to live, didn't matter. As long as he had it. He gave up everything. Everything. To have that. And it's the very same sense as the brethren here of the house of Stephanas. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They had to do it. Why? Because they loved the saints. They loved those people. They cared so much about it. They cared so much for those people that they were going to serve those people to the detriment and everything else going by the wayside. And those are the kind of people you want doing these services. Those people who love the church. They love the saints. They love the Lord. They will addict themselves. When they're exhausted, they'll still be working. And the Bible says in verse 16 that you submit yourselves to such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. You want to find men who you can follow that will be godly leaders. You find men who cannot help but work for the church, who have to be involved in the work of the church. Matthew 20, 26 to 28, he says, but it shall not be so among you, but whether will be the greatest among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister it and to give his life a ransom for many. The attitude, the heart of a servant is of great value to God. Tremendous value. The word deacon comes really from two Greek words. The first part of that word is dia. It means thoroughly is what the word means. The latter part of that word is konos. And you get diakonos or deacon. The word konos means to kick up the dust. The idea is a servant who is so thorough in his duty and so eager to do his duty that he literally kicks up a dust as he hurries to do his duty. It's the idea of the word deacon. But to be a servant is a wonderful thing. It's something that's in very high esteem to God. 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant to all that I might gain the more. The work of a deacon is a critical work to the saving of souls. The work of an elder is a critical work to the saving of souls. 1 Peter 5, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We've read that passage several times. Same idea. And willingly, a person who wants to do this, a person who has a desire for the good that will come from that service and from those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye also receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now notice verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. This word minister, same word as deacon, means servant, what it means. Feel free to look that up. That's what you're going to find. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. A lot of hardships there. A lot of trials and difficulties that are associated with a ministry, with being a servant and serving. One of the key things, we kind of skipped over it there, verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I want to tell you something. If you don't do your job well as a deacon, or as an elder, it'll look bad on the church. There will be fingers pointed. People will blame. This service is a very important service to the work of the church, and it's got some difficulties and heartaches. I tell every deacon that I know, every elder, I say, elders make a great target. Guy makes a good target. Jerry makes a good target, and you got a target on your back, and complaints are going to come to you, and hardships and difficulties that most people never know about, and they will bear those difficulties and those trials. Being a deacon, the same thing. There'll be a target on your back. There'll be fingers pointed and blame leveled and difficulties along the way, but it's a service that's of great value to God.